Hello and welcome to another edition of Fleetcast. And as you can see, something looks a bit different about our screen now. We have decided, as I mentioned in the last episode, to do something a little bit different because we're reviewing the animated series and we're also reviewing Doctor Who. So we decided that for Doctor Who episodes, we're going to be surrounded by TARDIS blue. So as you can see, which as you can tell, Ben, who is my lovely co-host again this evening, really, really, really is quite happy about. How are you doing, Ben?
I am very well, thank you. And how are you?
Tired.
I know the
Tired.
feeling. I was at work today,
Yes, we were
but
both at work today and we've both come home and we've both decided to record this episode tonight, which, yeah,
fair.
yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're silly or what, but yeah, we've
We're
got.
either very dedicated or very stupid.
I think it's dedicated. I think it's dedicated because we filmed two episodes in less than a week.
Yeah.
Because we filmed last week, and obviously that episode hasn't even come out by the time we're filming this, so that doesn't come out till next week.
No,
So
you're
yeah.
right, because the last one we had was the last one I saw was Hail Spock,
Yeah.
which I'm sorry, I've got to be constantly trying to find a line that beats that. So far, I haven't got it. Give me time.
Give me time. I really enjoyed and really enjoy that episode. And to be fair, I'm really enjoying going on this little journey with the animated series.
Tell you, I've not watched it since because I've got it on DVD. I watched it when I was a kid. Because me and my dad used to get the VHS tapes out of Blockbuster.
As she did on a Friday night.
Or a Monday or a Tuesday or just any random day we happen to be going down there to get a takeaway.
Fair enough.
Yeah, my mum didn't necessarily like that we kept coming back with these. My dad was, of course, very happy that we kept coming back with them.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
But yeah, so I'm definitely enjoying this little journey. It's been a bit of an eye-opener because obviously I'm not the biggest fan of the original series and William Shatner. But yeah, I'm enjoying
To
it.
be fair, no one could be as big a fan of William Shatner as William Shatner. Like, I mean, I enjoy the original series. I do enjoy Shatner's portrayal of Kirk, although not if I'm enjoy so in the movies, I enjoy it because they actually wrote him well.
Okay.
In the series, it's usually, oh my God, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I ever so slightly struggling with the original series, but I'm enjoying the animated series. I don't know why. I haven't put my finger on it yet, but I have. Well, you'll see the next episode because you haven't
Yeah.
seen the next episode. You'll see because there's something I want to bring into our reviews that I can't because you've not seen the next episode, so it'll be a spoiler for you. But
Okay.
you will see it. You will see it. It's going to be part of Becca's reviews of things going forward. But you'll see it. But
Okay.
apart from us both being at work today, what else have you been up to this week? What have you been writing?
Valentine's Day card
Okay, fair enough. Did not
and
expect that.
building a Lego roses bouquet.
Oh, you're adorable.
She said she wanted roses. I figure roses that don't die.
No one can say you are not romantic there.
And
But
also, it meant I got to play with Lego.
well, yeah, there is that.
Yeah.
Okay, but should we get into the review of this episode now?
Yes.
Okay. So, a quick disclaimer for anyone who hasn't ever joined us before, if the views and opinions that are expressed in this episode are ours and ours alone, they do not represent any member of the JFC, even though I am JFC. They don't represent Fleet Council. They don't represent anyone other than me and Ben ourselves. If you do not like the opinion, just move along. It's not for you. But yes.
And we'll try and keep this discussion civil because we're on probably our most divisive doctor.
Yes, she is divisive, but I like her.
See, I realized when I was watching this episode in particular my thoughts on her are very much akin to my thoughts on Voyager. When I like her, I really like her. When I don't, I absolutely hate her.
Okay.
And it's, there isn't a middle ground. It's either, yeah, really, really good or really, really bad.
Marmite.
Yeah, which again is exactly my thoughts on Star Trek Voyager. Yes. Like, when Voyager's good, it's amazing.
Yes.
But okay, when it's bad, it's a bad TNG ripoff.
Yeah, there are some interesting Voyager episodes. But yeah, I've got a bit of a confession about this episode.
So, go on.
When we discussed this episode and you told me what the episode was and you went, you listed off what the wiki sign up.
Yeah, I read the blurb, yeah.
Yeah, the blurb, that's the word I was looking for, blurb. I got confused on this episode. I mixed up with a completely different episode.
Oh, so no.
I went in watching this episode very, very confused because I was like, this is not the episode I remember. I got both the New Year's Eve episodes mixed up.
You mix, because funnily enough, I watched this one, and because this is a direct sequel to the previous New Year's episode.
It is in a way, but it's also a, obviously it carries on from the Timeless Child.
Yeah.
But I got a little bit confused because I thought it was the storage box episode.
You thought it was the following year.
Yes, but
yeah.
Yeah. But I think we need to kind of roll back to 2020, March 2020, because that's when The Timeless Child came out. Because I didn't realise that we had so long between The Timeless Child and the how are we pronouncing this episode?
Is it Revolution of the Daleks or Revelation of the Daleks?
I'm going to say Revelation of the Daleks because I couldn't work out which way to say it when I was looking at it. Revelation of the Daleks.
I just can't remember because I don't have the title card in front of me.
Yes. But I didn't realise that I didn't realise that we had so long between The Timeless Child and this episode. That was 10 months.
Yeah, there was enough time to literally grow a human.
Yeah, I literally did not remember this episode having this long a gap because it was left with such a big... Because The Timeless Child gave me Rasputin, didn't it?
No, that's Power of the Doctor.
I'm getting confused. I need to
Rasputin, because that scene has the bit, because you've got the Daleks and the Cybermen there, and the Dalek and the Cybermen just sort of look at each other when the Master's doing it, like, what the hell have we got into?
Didn't something similar happen with The Timeless Child? Because that's when Gallifrey is destroyed.
No, that's just where he brings out the Cyberlords.
And you wondered why I get confused over these episodes.
Because of the fact that it's just the Master doing... Like, Jodie Whittaker's run has three categories.
Right.
It has... this episode that we're doing today, it has the ones with the Master doing something absolutely insane that are somehow amazing.
Yeah.
And it has the rest.
Yeah. But I feel very much like there is a lot of episodes that are very, very similar to the point that I've obviously gotten a little bit confused.
Yeah. I was actually watching a YouTube video. I can't remember which channel it was from. But they were going through the biggest mistake every season of Doctor Who makes. And so basically said season 11, so Jodie Whittaker's first series, the biggest mistake it made was it tried too hard to pull in a new audience to the extent that it was basically shoving the old one outdoor.
Okay.
And then it said that the follow-up, which I very much loved this, I put this as basically being the actual series finale to series 12.
Yes.
Purely because of the end of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
No, I can agree on that.
And basically for that series, which I have to agree with this point, series 12 was where they tried to backpedal from what they'd done before, where they were trying to go, oh no, we're doing all standalone stuff, all new, but you don't have to have watched anything, to series 12, where, yeah, you kind of have to have watched about 80% of stuff for this to make any sense.
I very much feel like I pride myself on knowing Doctor Who, but I was very confused. But what I did like about as we get into this episode is the fact that it kind of it does shoot back to 2019, and the destruction of the Scout Dalek. Obviously, its damaged case is transported to a government. Well, it's meant to be transported to a government facility, but it's intercepted en route. And I really kind of like the setup for this episode because you kind of get very much you kind of almost get the whole story of what happened last season in those first like 30 seconds. So you could just jump in this episode.
It's the same as like with this particular bit. Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the start of Spider-Man Homecoming,
I've not
where the
seen
whole
it.
f what?
I've not seen it.
But it's one of the best MCU films.
Yeah, doesn't mean I've seen it.
Spider-Man.
Moving on.
Right.
Let's get let's
The bit I was getting at is it very much it uses the backdrop of the Avengers, the battle at the end of that,
Okay.
as the setup for the movie's villain.
Okay.
And it's sort of like it starts with this seemingly quite innocuous bit from it as well.
Yeah, and I kind of
And
like the kind of character development we get for the driver because you kind of like want to know, you want to like the driver. And I can remember when I first watched it, I thought, ah, he's going to be the bad guy.
funnily enough, because I hadn't rewatched this episode in probably a couple of years. And I, in my head, I was remembering him being in it a lot more than he was. Like, and it was very much the Mandela effect. It's like, oh yeah, I'm sure that he's the. And I was mixing him up with the girl from the first one, like the previous one, who ends up with a Dalek on her back. And I was like, oh yeah, he ends up doing this and this, and then I'm like, I guess part three. I'm like, wait, no, that was the girl out of Fresh Meat, and also You season four.
It I kind of was getting mixed up, but I kind of like that we learn quite a lot about the the driver, and then our everything is kind of crushed, but it's done in such a subtle way, and I almost feel like it's done in such a British way with a cup of tea.
I tell you what, I first of all, I agree with you that it's incredibly, incredibly British. I mean, when I get to work, the first thing I tend to do in the morning is I go out to the kitchen, I put the kettle on.
You know,
It's like
this driver's gone to a motorway. Well, it's not even
burger
a,
van.
yeah, it's a burger van. It's not even a cafe. And he's stopped. He's gone to get a cup of tea, and he's been killed pretty much with his cup of tea.
And also they do the bit before that where he's having his little conversation with his boss, and it's like the thing is they put so much into making you invest in this guy, they're following the red shirt trope.
Yes, like
Like
we learn that his mum's poorly, you know, that he's the main provider.
and
Oh.
it's like they give him all this backstory. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, I like him. And then he dies. It's just like, and the thing is, it's not even a case of it's ambiguous as to, oh, he might just be knocked out. It's like, no, you see, he is actually dead.
But it's also done by a middle-aged woman who is literally dressed like she belongs in the canteen from the Dinner Ladies. It's true, you know, I'm sure I'm talking the truth here.
I agree with you
And
because my mum's a big fan of that show.
it's just so British that they do it, and I almost feel a bit like, oh, that's really, really British and really Doctor Who, because sometimes I find that Doctor Who doesn't always play up to the tropes of Britishness, but it did with this.
Particularly in the, so I'm going to say from the tail end of the Capaldi run through Whittaker's run, it doesn't play into them a lot. That's when it got very, very American, I think.
Yes. But
Which.
also because then we kind of get the next scene where it kind of links back to the episode with the spiders in the hotel, because we
We
have,
get our favorite presidential parody, not played by Alec Baldwin.
yes, obviously it's played by Chris Noth, which he's very, very controversial now in the things that he's done.
Oh no.
Yes. And I think, and I'm really sad that he is in it because he's plays this role is so good.
It's
He
funny, that's the thing.
play he plays such a good parody of the president.
Yeah.
It's really hard to watch, and I really, really
Also,
want to hate his role.
the young guy who he's got with him, the scientist, which I don't know it how many people here have watched it, but he was in Misfits.
Oh my God, yes, he was.
He was the longest lasting member of the original cast because he made it all the way through to, I think he makes it to like halfway through the final season and then they kill him off.
I didn't even recognize him. And I've put on my notes, and I've even wrote down his name and everything. Because I he plays such a good role. I didn't even recognize that it was him.
The thing is, like, because I first time I watched it, because I used to love Misfits when I was in college.
Me too.
It was one of my favorite shows. Although he was not my favorite. In fact, he was out of the three guys from the first couple of seasons, he was probably my least favorite. Because he was the most normal.
I can see what you mean there.
Whereas you then had the crazy immortal guy and the really, really shy guy who then turns into blinking Neo.
But it's good, you know, it's a good program, but I just did not realize that it was him. But it is such a good role, and I don't want to say it play the Doctor Who plays into the trope of dodgy politicians, but
It
it
does.
very much does with this episode. We get the dodgy presidential candidate. We
We
then get,
also get a parody of everyone's favorite prime minister.
yes, and
Well,
we get.
everyone's, I think, second favorite at this point. I think her replacement probably overtook her.
We obviously get the dodgy prime minister who has been making dodgy deals to get backhanders and to push herself up in the elections,
Yep.
and we find out that she basically gave Robinson, who is Chris North's character, the nod that the Dalek was being transported from GCHQ
Yeah.
to another secure facility. And
But I have a real issue with this particular part of the setup. My big issue here is, okay, how the hell were they actually able to keep that Dalek in the first place? Because you've got UNIT, which seems to be an up and down thing, but I have to assume it's very much back up based on the fact that literally a couple of years later they've got Avengers Tower.
I don't know if we're still in the stage where they're not there.
Yeah, we've also, but you do also have Torchwood as a thing. And it's like between both of those organizations, the fact that they were able to keep a Dalek never quite rings true with me.
Yeah, I think
And
it's in a
the
good
other bit is
place.
it actually flies in the face of what we've seen the Doctor do previously, which is anytime there's that level of alien technology, the Doctor has a tendency to take it away.
But I also think that plays into the fact that the doctor isn't there. Obviously,
The Doc no
she's
no
not
but
there.
she was there when they killed the Dalek.
Yeah, but then
That was the bit
she
that got me.
went away, didn't she?
Yeah, I don't get why she went away without taking the Dalek with her.
Yeah, I don't know, but obviously we find out that obviously Which is quite funny about this episode, because this episode doesn't kind of get to the doctor until 8 minutes in. You know,
Was it that short? I thought it was like 10, 15 minutes.
No, it was 8 minutes, because I looked, because I was like, oh, the doctor's finally here, you know, 8 minutes in, and we're only just seeing the doctor.
Yeah, and also this introduces a very interesting point.
What's that?
The doctor regenerated with pre-dyed hair. Because before that, they've always been very good recovering the roots. But obviously, because she's been in a prisoner, oh, you won't cover the roots. But now it makes no sense that she was blonde before.
I didn't really notice that.
That was my big, like, in that scene, I was just like, where, what's with those roots? Like, for the love of God, are you saying that during the process of regenerating, she decided to dye her hair?
You are thinking far too much into this, Ben. But yeah, no, my issue with this whole with the whole realization of the Daleks and stuff like that. I keep going, well, why has no one thought this is a Dalek? They've seen Daleks before.
Except for in series five, we find out that Stolen Earth and Journey's End were wiped out of the timeline by the cracks in the universe.
Yeah, but there's been Daleks since then.
Yeah, the well, not in the present day, actually.
Is it not?
No, aside from that one Dalek in the previous episode, the Daleks had not been in pres on present day Earth since then. Because interestingly,
I can accept that. I'm not going to dispute it.
it does actually do one thing. It creates one other bit of retroactive continuity. One of the other things wiped out or by the cracks was also the Battle at Canary Wharf.
So what's happened to Rose?
Yes. See, people assume that time is a strict progression from cause to effect, but actually, from a strictly non-linear, non-subjective point of view, it's more of a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey
Timey-wimey.
stuff.
Okay, I think we'll leave that there. But yeah, so we kind of get to the scene where the doctor is in prison, and I really kind of like this scene, because we kind of go through the day-to-day life of the doctor and the fact that she has been there for a very long time, and we get my favorite ever name for a character.
Which one is
Angela the Angel.
it?
Because
Yes.
the Weeping Angels are so scary, but the fact that this one is called
Angela.
Angela, I just.
See, what I like is the scenes in this prison are basically spot the B tier villains of Doctor Who. You've got the Weeping Angel, you've got the Sycorax, you've got the Ood. Later on, you get the Silence with my favorite one-liner of the episode.
What's
Oh, I
that?
forgot you were there.
I forgot that you were there. I think this is a subtle scene that very much harks back to reminding us what the Doctor is all about.
Also, second favorite one-liner episode, but we'll get there in a minute.
Okay, and then we kind of go through, and the Doctor's there, and this part makes me laugh because the Doctor is having a conversation with herself. She's acting like she's two people, and I just keep thinking back to, yeah, this is exactly what she sounds like in her head sometimes. And obviously then she starts saying the words from the first Harry Potter book.
Yeah, she starts reciting the opening chapter of Philosopher's Stone.
And I'm just like, it's just so funny. And then obviously we get the Morse code, and
Yeah.
we know that something is not quite right in the prison, or it's not right, but it's not the right kind of.
Something's going on.
Yeah, there's something is going on, and it kind of gives us a bit of a hint that something's about to go down, which is nice.
Yes. I'll admit the prison segment, I like the little cameos. I wasn't hugely engaged on it
Yeah.
until we get the big bit that we know is coming.
Yes. And then
Yeah.
obviously the next scene flashes back to the present time. Well, actually, it flashes back to 10 months later than the initial scenes. And obviously, we've got Yaz, who is in the TARDIS that they acquired in the Timeless Child episode. That's basically its chameleon arc is set up as a house on a corner. And Yaz is absolutely obsessed. With
Also, I kind of love this because it's like the interior of that TARDIS is like a it is to the first Doctor's TARDIS what the Strange New Worlds bridge is to the original series bridge.
Yes.
And I'm not gonna lie, I looked at it, I was like, why couldn't we have had this for the 13th Doctor's night? Like, it's better. I legitimately wanted them to have, but again, I knew it wasn't going to happen because I remembered the flux and all that.
Yeah.
But I wanted them to have found a reason for the Doctor to have swapped the interior to that by the end of the episode.
Yeah. It was a good interior. And I kind of really like this scene for the fact that we see that Yaz is obsessed with finding the Doctor. But also, I like how the boys tempt her out. You know, they tempt her out by showing her the footage from the 10 months ago where the Daleks,
the riot drones,
the riot drone,
which by the way, they look like, I hate to say it, they look better than the regular Daleks.
Yes,
because you've still got the gun, but the pepper pot, but not the pepper pot, the plunger is gone. For like, oh, weird claw thing, but you know what, it makes more sense.
Yes,
it really does.
And it almost feels like the Dalek has been given a 21st century makeover. Yeah, and I think if it was designed now with that style, I think it probably would be.
Yeah, like, if you'd never had the classic Daleks and they introduced that as the design for them, people go, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was sort of like, you've made it. The thing that annoys me is they don't keep the color scheme, I don't think.
I think it's still the black and the blue all the way through.
I'm remembering it as you've got the bronze one of them at the end.
I think that's the main one.
So, ironically, I would have made all of them the bronze one and made the black and silver one the main one, because it looks so much cooler.
Yeah, but obviously it's really interesting, because obviously Yaz, Ryan and Graham, they kind of get to where Robinson is, and they confront him, and they're going, we know you've got a Dalek, we know you've got a Dalek, and he's like, Dalek?
Stop saying that word!
Yeah. And he's really confused, because obviously he doesn't know what a Dalek is. He truthfully doesn't know what a Dalek is. He doesn't know that that's what this thing is, and he's very, very confused. But obviously, he's a bit more prepared than he was with the spiders, and he now has security, proper security.
With guns.
With guns, which I find a bit strange because it's the UK.
Yeah, I don't think that... I don't care how much money you have, no businessman in the UK would get away with having fully armed security. Yeah. Maybe they had blinking tasers or something.
Yeah, but they didn't dislike it.
But no, they have blinking M9 handguns or something. It's like, no.
That was an annoying part, but I did like this scene for the fact that it's just such a funny scene. Because, you know, Robinson's very, 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 very confused. He's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? And obviously, Yaz is annoyed because she's not acting like the Doctor, even though she wants to act like the Doctor. And it's just so funny. It's one of those scenes that...
Ironically, it's one of the few scenes where I actually quite liked Yaz. Because I wasn't a fan of her as a character. I think she was very underwritten. Like, they basically... They introduce they introduce her in her first episode, and she doesn't really grow. Like, she has things happen to her, but she does not grow.
Yeah.
And that's kind of true of all of 13's companions, not played by Bradley Walsh, unfortunately.
I love Bradley Walsh in this.
So do I.
He is such a good character. And I apologise to everyone because I've been saying Robinson and it's Robertson.
Oh, I thought it was Robinson as well.
No, it's not. It's Robertson, which... But we both thought that. But yeah, no, I think Robertson is such a good role for Chris North, and I'm very much enjoying it, though I don't want to, because he becomes more and more annoying as he gets more scenes.
But I mean he's living up to the parody.
He is very much living up to the parody, but the next scene that he's in, I think he's actually doing the right thing for the first time in any scene that we've ever been in.
Yeah, because I've got to cycle back to that later on, but what they do with his character is actually quite interesting.
Yes, but obviously the scene clashes back to the prison.
Yeah.
Which is quite an interesting scene, because the doctor...
This is where we get the silence.
Yes, we get the silence, and obviously the doctor is very much going through her routine again. She's going around the cell. She's saying, oh, I forgot about you. And then
Jack, did you forget about me?
Yes, and we get John Barrowman returning to Doctor Who, which I think is just brilliant in how they did it, because they play up to every single time that Jack has been in the episode.
Funnily enough, this is what I was talking about, why the other one was my second favourite one-liner. Which is the bit where the doctor turns around and they reuse the joke from Utopia. Have you had work done?
Yes.
You can talk.
Yes. Obviously, as they're running along the hallway with...
After using the space gumball.
Yeah. What did they call it?
I literally, in my head, refer to it as the space gumball.
Yeah, it's not that, but they use a special term and it did actually make me laugh. And obviously
the whole thing is it freezes time for, what is it, 11 seconds or something.
Yeah, so obviously you get the really hilarious scene that's almost like out of Indiana Jones with them running along the corridor.
I was thinking Monty Python.
Each to their own. We both got a difference of opinions there.
Purely because it's like they're in a hamster ball.
Yeah, they very much are. It's like they are in a hamster ball, and it's hilarious. And it kind of just, they get back to his cell and he's like, oh, I've hidden this away. And it leads back to when we first met him. It's just like, where did you keep that?
Yeah, in Bad Wolf. Yeah. But that's a compact laser deluxe. Where were you keeping that? You really don't want to know.
Yeah, and it kind of just very much hints back to Jack being Jack. And. Yeah. Obviously, they use his, what's it called? It's on his...
Vortex manipulator.
Vortex manipulator to get back to the TARDIS. And then it kind of... What I didn't like about this part is the fact they leave us there. They leave it and then they flash back to Earth.
Yeah. I mean, I had another bit I didn't like here, and then I remembered the end of The Timeless Child. Because here Jack's able to use the vortex manipulator teleport into the TARDIS, which the Doctor has said on multiple occasions that if someone tries to teleport into the TARDIS, it basically displaces them somewhere else.
Yes.
Or that to get into his ship, they'd need something really, really spectacular. Then I remembered the Jadoon did it at the end of The Timeless Child.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, so I guess that when the Doctor rebuilt the TARDIS at the end of Last of the Time Lords, he didn't put the shield back in proper. We know he didn't at the time, but I guess he never did.
Yeah. I accepted that he never put the shield back in place. But obviously then we get back to Earth and we get the conversation between Leo, who is the designer of the police Daleks, and Robertson. And This scene is it's an interesting one because it kind of gives us two parallels to Leo. And I think it's the best scene, or we see the best side of Robertson, because obviously Leo is worrying about the fact that the Daleks, the robot Daleks, are being produced so quickly because the new Prime Minister wants a nationwide
Roll out.
rollout of them. She wants it sped up. There, Leo is worrying about the speed of it, but then we get the revelation that he
Look,
has.
congratulations, Leo, you are new Davros.
Yes, we find out that he has managed to find some genetic material in the original Dalek.
And he has cloned a Dalek out of that. And this is one thing that I love, which they do lampshade later on, which is the bit where, oh, well, all Dalek's memories are the single cell. That's not the first time we've had that, because the doctors even said, no, a Dalek's grown with all the information already in it.
And I think Robertson does the only good thing that he has ever done in the two episodes that we see is he tells Leo straight away to
Kill the
kill the
Dalek.
Dalek with fire, without hesitation. And this is where he makes the error. He leaves before Leo does it. And Leo goes to do it, and obviously.
The thing is, the way this scene happens, I don't think it would actually make a difference if he'd stayed.
Okay.
Because if you look, like, Leo doesn't take the Dalek out of the case to put it into the furnace. It is the heat from the furnace causes the glass to shatter, and then the Dalek gets out.
Ah, see, when I was watching it, I thought he opened it to.
No, you hear it smash. So realistically, it wouldn't actually have made any difference. Like, I agree with you. He should have made sure he actually did it. And frankly, it's like, you've got how many guns in this place? Just shoot it. But also then you wouldn't get an episode.
I think it's a plot point. But yeah, Leo is taken over by this Dalek.
Dalek.
This Dalek.
In the same way that the girl was in the last one.
And it's such a creepy part where Leo is speaking on the phone, and then you get the creepy voice repeating his words.
Yeah, which I, because that isn't Nicholas Briggs doing the Dalek bit there. Because actually, I don't think he actually voices the Dalek until much later
Yes,
in the
I got
episode.
the same impression. But it's just very, very, very creepy, the voice of the Leo Dalek.
It reminded me very much of, and I don't know if you ever watched Stargate.
Vaguely.
It reminded me of the bit where you'd have the Gould, where they'd basically put the actor's voice through a modulator and then overlay it over itself two or three times to give it this weird reverb sound effect.
Okay, I don't think I have seen that, but yeah,
Just
it would, yeah.
literally just YouTube Gold talking, and
Yeah.
yeah.
But yeah, I really didn't like that part. It was a bit uncomfortable.
To be fair, here the actor does really well in this episode,
Yes.
because they've essentially got him playing two different roles.
Nathan Stewart Jarrett is amazing in this role, and I cannot praise him enough for this whole episode that he is in. He plays, as you said, plays two roles, but he plays them so well.
And in a couple of places, actually running them into one another and interacting with one another.
Yes, some of the scenes that he does are just absolutely amazing. But yeah, this and how it kind of goes on with then Yaz and the Doctor kind of reuniting. I want to talk about that scene because I kind of think,
I love that.
yeah.
Like, because Yaz's first response, just shove the doctor.
Yeah, which is slightly red flag, the fact that that was her first response. But you can understand why, because it's been 10 months.
The issue is, I think they were trying to draw parallels there,
Okay.
because I'm pretty sure there are a couple of instances during the RTD era where the Doctor got a similar response from both Rose and Martha.
Okay.
And
Yeah.
again, this could be that Mandela effect, but I think that's what and they do lampshade that later on as well, because Jack goes to, I know that shove.
Yes. But
Actually, I'm pretty sure you
obviously,
get it from Jack at one point as well.
yeah, obviously the Doctor's reunited with the fam, her fam, as she likes to refer to them, and I love the fact that she calls it the fam, and I know you don't. Because I can see it on your face. I know that you don't, but I do. I love this, and it's one of my favorite bits.
I just don't like the term.
Yeah, but
It's not even the fact that it's the doctor, it's just I cringe when I hear it. It's like certain words in the in-betweeners make me cringe when I hear them.
yeah. But I do. I like it, and I love it, and I think there are so many good scenes with, the group reunited, but the part where she realizes that it's been so long for them. Oh.
I mean, to be fair, like, they make a big deal out of that and completely gloss over the fact that Jack said he'd spent 23 years trying to get moved to the right prison cell,
Yeah,
which also tells you how long it was for her,
Yes, I
because
want to
that
say
means she had to.
probably be there for about 30 years.
Yeah, possibly longer.
Yeah, and it kind of breaks my little heart, and then it kind of goes to them, and she goes, "Okay, so what's been going on?" And all three of them go, "Dalek," and the look on their face is just like, because obviously we think back to Jack. His first ever death was at the hands of a Dalek, and
And he even makes a joke out of it later.
he has a lot of Dalek issues, so many Dalek
What?
issues.
He's never shown any Dalek issues, especially
Yeah.
not when he had that gigantic ray gun bazooka thing that
Yeah.
he used to blow one up.
Yeah, he has a lot of Dalek issues, and I kind of like the fact that he shows that he's not afraid to show that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I don't like is, and it's an issue that it's not just 13 I have this with. It actually came up, well, tail end of Smith and through Capaldi's run. The Doctor's issue with them seems to have become not quite non-existent, but when you compare it to, for example, Victory of the Daleks, where the Doctor literally tries beating a Dalek to death with a giant
But
wrench.
I also wonder if that's because it's been so long for the doctor, because it's been, what, 1,000 years?
Yeah, about
It's been 1,000 years for the doctor since the Time War.
that.
So I think it's kind of, as while the season's only been, what, 15 years for us, it's been 1,000 years for the doctor. And I wonder if that's the reason why their experiences with the Daleks have become very different. The anger isn't there, because obviously when we see Christopher Eccleston, he is very angry. Very, very angry. And it kind of, I feel it becomes less and less as it goes on for that reason.
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of doing the Doctor's anger, the level it should be at with the Daleks. And it's an example I don't want to use because I know for a fact that anyone who knows me just go, oh, you're just going fanboy here. Because it is a 10th Doctor one, but it's actually Daleks in Manhattan when he's in the sewer.
It's a good one. It's a good episode.
But yeah, also quickly cycling back to Victory of the Daleks. Am I the only one who was getting major vibes of that at the start when they rolled out the Dalek drones?
What was that, sorry?
I said on this, I said quickly cycling back to Victory of the Daleks. Am I the only one who got major vibes from that episode when they brought a Dalek drones?
I didn't, but I think it's been a very long time since I've seen that episode. I don't remember seeing it since its initial broadcast.
Oh, so good. In my opinion, best Dalek episode Matt Smith had.
Okay, I might. Well, it might come up. We don't know what's going to come up in the time rewind wheel yet.
True.
Yeah, but this episode, yeah, in the fact that it kind of, the scenes kind of progress, and obviously we see that Leo travels to Japan, and that the fact that Dalek clones are already being grown, in a faculty there. It kind of, yeah, it's just.
I had a slight issue with this.
Okay.
So, and it could be, oh, a lot of time passes in between scenes. But the fact that he's able to forge a purchase order, do all that, and I couldn't work out if it was a case of, oh, the Dalek did that after it took him over, or because he mentions that he connected it to the internet earlier on.
I took it as it had been in the process for months beforehand.
Yeah, because the only way it really works is if, because it also explains why he bothered putting in that line about I connected it to the internet and within seconds it had done this, this and this.
Yeah, yeah. I took it as my headcanon was it had been going on for months.
Mm.
But obviously, yeah, we kind of get a split up of the team. Yaz and Jack go to Japan to work out why there is Dalek DNA, and the Doctor, Graham and Ryan go to confront Robinson, and it kind of, whilst they're really quick scenes, I do kind of want to talk about the Jack and Yaz scene, because I really, really like this scene. It's just so human. Obviously, Jack reveals these from the 51st century, and Yaz is like, huh, really? And
I like that it goes back. It sort of brings up once again, and it's something that they bring up all the time with Jack, but it always comes up that John Barrowman's a handsome dude.
Yes.
She's like, oh, so they all like you there.
Yes.
And he's just like, no, I'm special. You see that look of almost disappointment on her face.
Yeah. And it kind of frustrates me that obviously John Barrowman kind of got dragged through a lot of controversy, should say. He kind of got dragged through stuff.
I got particularly frustrated with that, but I think that's something I'll discuss with you outside of but it was purely because of how that came about and also what it was in reference to.
Yeah.
Because that, without going too far into it, it was basically bringing something up that had already been dealt with and resolved many, many years before between himself and the other parties involved.
Yeah, and even he has admitted, like, on television that he wouldn't do that nowadays.
Yeah, this was a funny joke at the time outside of a single isolated incident for which I immediately apologised.
Yeah.
People did find it funny.
Yeah.
Like, as he said, there was one instance, and that was the one everyone latched onto. It's like, oh, well, that one, that makes all of them awful. It's like, no, it makes that one in poor taste.
Yeah.
It makes it an isolated incident.
Yeah, and I kind of feel very, very sad for the fact that we possibly won't get any more Jack.
I was quite disappointed that he didn't turn up in the 60th.
Yeah. Because he is such a brilliant actor, and I think he's one of the best characters Doctor Who has created, and it just proves in this scene just how brilliant of an actor he actually is, because he recognises himself in Yaz, He sees what he went through back on, is it Bad Wolf? Bad Wolf, what was the station called? Bad Wolf.
It was
Bad Wolf 12?
Satellite 5.
But yeah, Satellite 5, obviously what he went through there. And it just kind of, yeah, it kind of just made me like a bit sad because I was like, oh.
The thing that makes me most sad, going back to a point of getting more Jack, they never actually, because his whole thing when he was first introduced was he found out the time agency took 4 years of his life and he doesn't know what happened. They never answered that.
No, not in Torchwood, not in Doctor Who. Nothing's ever been answered.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, when they put what's his name, John Hart in Torchwood, I thought they were gonna explain it there.
Yeah.
But
But I
nope.
also wonder if that was because it was cancelled.
Yeah,
And
could
obviously,
be.
a lot of the stories in the last sort of four episodes of that were very, very rushed, which is why we get how it ends, how it does.
Yeah, the end of Torchwood was not good.
No.
To actually, the entire final season of Torchwood was not. Miracle Day was really bad.
Oh no, I'm actually talking about the actual
Series.
original series, the
It's like
sense.
season two.
Yeah. Miracle Day. I don't want to go into Miracle Day because I will have so many questions over it. Because I am not over how it ends.
I want them to do, even if they do it as like one or two one-off specials, just wrapping it up.
Yes, I have a lot of questions still. And I'm still not happy about it, as you can tell by my face. Yeah, so and obviously we then kind of get the a kind of a parallel scene with the Doctor and Ryan, where the Doctor's a bit depressed, she doesn't know who she is anymore, and kind of, she's having a crisis. I almost say that she's having a crisis of faith, and it's Ryan who kind of picks her up again.
It goes, well, I was able to sort of pick things up with my dad. If I can do that,
And
anyone can
obviously,
do anything.
yeah, and then obviously the group reunites in Japan, bringing along Robertson, who is so confused over the TARDIS. And I really kind of love the fact that both Graham and Ryan refuse to tell him what the TARDIS is. And it kind of then becomes a running theme through this episode where they don't tell him. And obviously, this scene is really, really creepy. I know it's a really short scene, but they get obviously into this faculty and they're trying to work out what this goop is that's feeding the clones.
And then, ironically, it calls back to that first death from Jack, where at that point the Daleks were growing more Daleks out of cells from the dead. And here, this Dalek is literally turning, because in that, the Dalek Emperor even says the rest of the cells would be basically pulped and used to feed the remainder of it. And that's exactly what they're doing here.
Yeah,
They're just.
we find out what happens to the people who have built the faculty, and the Dalek then reveals its plan. But what I find is so creepy about this scene is the fact the lighting changes, and obviously they're trying to work out why the lighting is changing, and it's just, yeah, it's really, really, I'm just like,
I just love the fact that for the first time in Doctor Who, a villain manages to do a successful, I'm going to tell you my whole plan, and then I'm actually going to escape. Because
and
normal,
obviously,
I mean, in Sound of Drums, this is even lampshaded, where the master went, how about I tell you all my plans and you can figure out a way to stop me? I don't think. Because he knows that that's what happens. The bad guy always monologues, and the doctor goes, right, okay, so I'm just going to do this. But here, the Doctor is completely clueless. The Doctor actually doesn't get it.
Yes, and obviously this scene very much the lights are becoming more and more purple, and then we get this wonderful scene where the clones disappear and they are teleported to all the police Daleks across the United Kingdom, and you kind of get the scenes at the Tower of London, the airport, loads and loads of different locations where the Daleks are basically taking out people. But what I
Yeah,
like is,
we lose our Prime Minister parody here.
yes, we do lose our Prime Minister live on BBC.
Yes. I mean,
Yeah, if it's ever going to happen, it's how it's going to happen. But
yeah.
what I liked about the scene is the fact that Dalek Ray is red and it's not blue.
Yeah, because these aren't the regular Daleks. They're a different thing.
And I
And
found the
also,
subtleness of it.
I do, again, going back to that color palette, I like the color palette here because it's actually one that we have seen before. Because we saw this color palette all the way back in the Dalek invasion of Earth
Did we?
with Hartnell.
Oh, okay,
Because
so we obviously know
the
that.
command Dalek was
Okay.
a black and silver.
Right.
And of course, because those are in black and white, it doesn't really show. It looks like a black and grey thing.
Well, that's why I would have noticed.
Yeah. But if you then watch where, of course, they recreated those Daleks for the Dark Invasion of 2150 with Peter Cushing, there the command Dalek is black and silver.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then obviously we get obviously this scene is quite funny because it leads into the doctor discussing how she's going to fix the situation, and she decides to do the nuclear option,
The
which
one thing you must never ever do.
yes, and she puts a message through the time vortex looking for the Dalek Death Squad, basically the enforcers of the Daleks.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, the SAS Daleks, as she puts it.
Which is how they are going to be referred to from going forward, the SAS Daleks.
Yeah, because it's just a really cool description. The one I didn't like her describing them as being like sharks in the water,
Okay.
purely because in my head I was thinking more piranhas. The only reason being a shark rips you apart.
Yeah.
A piranha, well, piranhas, eh? They come in large groups like you get here,
Yeah.
but they literally just demolish.
Yeah.
And it's a very small difference, but to me,
Yeah.
I can never think of a Dalek as being like a shark.
No, definitely more
Yeah.
piranha, but it leads to my favorite scene in this whole episode. Do you know why?
Go on.
Because it's Bristol.
I
The
didn't even
suspension
notice that.
bridge. The part where they're on the bridge is Bristol Suspension Bridge.
Oh.
Yeah. So obviously we get to the SAS Daleks coming to Earth,
Yep.
and we get this beautiful scene of them appearing over a city, and then we get the both of the groups meeting on Bristol Suspension Bridge, which is amazing. And will forever probably be one of my favorite scenes because I'm from Bristol and I love Bristol Suspension Bridge. It's an amazing image. If you guys don't know what it is, I would search it out. It's a beautiful scene with a bridge over a really windy river, but it's huge. And it was made by Isambard and King de Brunel, and it's just fantastic. But the scene just looks so good with these two groups of Daleks.
See, the other thing I like the neither the Daleks themselves nor the ship are actually like design-wise are changed from what we got all the way back in series one. Because that is something that, and it's not just the Chibnall era that did this, it happened in Stephen Moffat's as well. But they had a real thing for trying to, I mean, I refer you to the Cybermen who turned into Iron Man. But it's like, no, like this design, because all that was literally just a modern update of the original 1960s designs.
Okay.
Because you don't need to do anything else. Like, you don't have to make it look more elaborate or update it. Just keep it as it is. And I swear to God, if when they do eventually turn up in Cutie Gatwa series, they look completely different, I am gonna be so annoyed.
I'm gonna trim this part and just put it as a reminder for everyone, so that if it does happen, we've got like.
But
It's really, really kind of
then
interesting
you.
because we've got the SAS Daleks and we've got the police Daleks confronting each other, and the police Daleks are like, "Oh, we're Daleks, we're Daleks," and the SAS Daleks are like, "No." And
It again, this is another bit that reminds me of Victory of the Daleks, where they get make the new where in that they made the new Dalek paradigm that were actually pure Daleks, and you had the impure ones. And what's the first thing the actual Daleks do?
destroy them.
They destroy the Daleks that aren't real Daleks.
They literally wipe the police Daleks off the face of the earth, literally.
Yeah. And that then comes the part of the doctor's plan that was a little bit ill-conceived.
Yes, because the second part of the plan, with the Jack Graham and Ryan, they've gone up to the Dalek ship and they've put explosives on the ship, which are ready to explode. But there is a part of the plan that none of them factors in, which is Robertson, who,
Tries to make a deal.
he tries to make a deal. So he betrays the doctor.
In typical presidential parody fashion, he tries to make a deal.
He tries to make a deal, and then he is taken to the Dalek ship.
Which, by the way, I find this really weird.
Yes.
Like, the Daleks will just kill him.
Yes.
The
Yeah,
fact
it.
they even entertain it is bizarre to me.
Yes. And obviously, I'm surprised. I don't know whether they were, I wonder if they were kind of thrown because you've got the Leo Dalek, who has now got his own body because he's killed Leo. It's basically like, I'm like you, I'm like you. I was a part of a reconnaissance ship, I'm like you. And obviously these Daleks are like, what do they say? They say something very specific, don't they? They say something like, to keep ourselves pure, the only things we do is exterminate the unpure, or something like that. And obviously
It very much calls back to the original basis for the Daleks.
And obviously, even the doctor comments for a species that were part of a genetic experiment,
They're very fixated on purity.
and it is, and I think it's a very good episode that kind of explores the Daleks' views.
Yeah. Or, yeah, it. I mean, I still think the best episode for going through that is the, I think it's like the second episode of Capaldi's run, where Into the Dalek, where you have a good Dalek.
Yes. Was I a
And
good
in that,
Dalek?
huh?
Was I a good Dalek?
Well, that point, it literally goes into like the psychology of the Daleks.
Yes.
But also the end of the end of that episode where Rusty the Dalek, which by the way, best name for a Dalek ever,
Definitely.
point blank turned around and said to the doctor, "You would be a good Dalek." And it's just like, you may as well have just like dropped tr you may as well just dr drop drop trow and started doing your business.
It's one of those ones. But obviously we have the scene where the boys are on the ship and they kind of have to rescue Robertson and get themselves off the ship. And
Yeah.
I really like how they tie this episode up with the Daleks going in to a TARDIS, which turns out not to be the Doctor's TARDIS, and the Doctor has set this TARDIS to disappear off to the, what does she call it? To the in-between?
Yeah.
What's
I
it called?
can't remember what she calls it, but I have to assume it's meant to be the void.
Yeah, I think it is the void. Obviously she sets it to the void and the ship basically
Of
crushes
course,
itself, doesn't it?
yeah, also, you know what that means, because obviously the doctor says, I use this TARDIS's chameleon circuit to do this.
Yeah.
I have to assume that means that she went back to that junkyard in 1963 and then proceeded to just beat up that chameleon circuit once it had changed into the police box.
Maybe, I do not know. But obviously I like how it ties up.
Yeah.
I feel satisfied that this episode ties up a lot of loose
I
ends.
also I like the fact so because this so the bit that I was talking about earlier, which I think was a really good bit with the par with Mr. President Parody, is the bit where he goes, oh no, like I was literally just basically feeding him a load of crap.
Yeah.
And it's like you watch it. Like, I can't decide if he is actually telling the truth and may have actually done something good.
Yeah, and obviously Robertson uses this as part of his bid for the next presidential
President.
election. Yeah, so he kind of uses this to restore his public reputation. And then obviously we kind of then get the final couple of scenes where Jack has disappeared off to reunite with Gwen Cooper, and then it leaves us with the Doctor, Ryan, Yaz, and Graham in the TARDIS. And Ryan decides that he's going to stay. Yaz
Because he
decides,
wants to spend time with Daddy.
yes, and Yaz just continues wanting to travel with the Doctor. But the part that I really like about this is Graham. He decides to stay with Ryan.
I really like the very end of this. Because the whole thing in the first episode they're introduced in is Ryan has a real problem with Graham.
Yes.
And then the end of the episode, which almost brings a tear to your eye.
Yes.
So you get a bit where they. I can never decide if this is a hallucination or not, where they see his.
Yeah,
Nan,
where
I'm like, part of me wants them to do that, but also you're opening a whole other kettle of fish.
they see Grace.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so
But
I choose to just sidestep that entirely.
yeah, I think it's probably one of those ones that we do sidestep. But I really do like the fact that how far Graham and
Yeah.
Ryan have come,
Well,
and they
yeah,
both.
because it ends with they're both going through all these different things that have been going on. Oh, go check it out, go check it out, go check it out. Which does lead into Graham's next appearance.
Yes.
But then you've got Ryan sort of goes, oh. And he goes, well, he's like, well, that stuff's still gonna be there a while. We've got time to finish with the bike, right?
Yeah.
And also it's we've got time to finish with the bike, right, Grandad?
Yeah, and I really like how these characters have been betrayed and how far they've come. I feel like they're some of the companions that have got some real depth to them and they've had a lot of character development without it being overboard and it being like them having focus episodes almost.
Again, I feel like so Graham point blank gets a lot of character growth, and Ryan gets a lot of growth. Not so much as a character, because as a character, he doesn't really grow at all.
Yeah.
He suffers from the same thing as Yaz, which is he's introduced basically fully formed and doesn't really change anything. But his relationships with certain characters change. So he grows in that respect. And then you've got Yaz, who just, hi, I'm here.
Yeah, Yaz is a difficult character, but shall we see how many, what's the score?
Right, so this is my favourite non-master episode of Jodie Whittaker's entire run.
Okay.
It's a 3 out of 5 from me.
Okay. Let's put the robot Dalek on the screen.
Robot Dalek?
Robot Dalek.
Not SAS Dalek.
No, it's Robo Dalek. Police Dalek,
Robo Dalek.
Robo Dalek. It's because I was thinking Robocop.
I'm now picturing a Dalek with a Robocop helmet.
Robo Dalek, that works. Okay, my score actually is going to be similar. It's going to be a 3 Robo Daleks, the same as yours. For very similar reasons, because, yes, this was a good episode.
Mm.
But I feel there are a couple of scenes that let it down. I feel, and also because I think it feels so similar to other episodes, that's kind of why I have to...
What, you think the episode that was so similar to something, you literally mix it up another episode, is similar to things?
Yeah.
So yeah.
I kind of have to mark it down because it confused me.
Yeah, so part of the reason I marked it down is, like I said earlier, there were several scenes where I was drawing parallels to Victory of the Daleks.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, I found myself thinking, this has been done before and was done somewhat better.
Yeah.
When they did it in the World War II setting.
Yeah. I think they could have done better, but it's not a bad episode.
No, it is a good episode.
Yeah.
Like, could have been better does not automatically equal bad.
Yeah.
Same as has been done, but being done better does not equal bad, because, well, frankly, there are so many episodes that fall into that category.
Yes, yes. Would you like to see what our next episode is going to be?
Yep.
The timey-wimey wheel. Let's go. Let's go. Let's
see what it is. I know what I'm hoping for.
Okay, what are you hoping for?
I've got a couple I'm hoping for.
Okay.
In a general blanket sense, I'm hoping for something with David Tennant or Matt Smith.
Could have called that. Okay, let's see.
I'm hoping for... Personally, I'm hoping for either End of Time. Or I am hoping for, actually, having said to mention so many times, Victory of the Daleks. What was it?
Oh, no. I thought it was a different episode. I got really excited. Okay. It's season 6, The Girl Who Waited.
Oh, that's the one where Amy ends up in the hospital thing.
Yes. And it wasn't the episode that I wanted, though. I thought it was going to land on The Doctor's Wife.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yes. Oh, I'm going to have to remove that episode. Right. Let's bring it back so we're not there. So it's The Girl Who Waited, which is, as you said, it's very much the episode where Amy Pond is stuck in the hospital, which is good because it's a Matt Smith one. I wanted a Matt Smith one because I really do like him.
Also, it has Matt Smith's, in my opinion, best costume, which is the one where it's basically his original costume. He's got the tweed jacket for the long green coat.
Okay. But yeah.
Because the Doctor should always have a long coat.
Well, I think he should always have a fez too, especially if he's in Matt Smith.
Matt Smith always should have a fez.
Yes. So yeah, so this has been an interesting episode, but I think I'm more excited for the next episode.
Last week, or a few days ago,
Thursday.
It's Tuesday now, it's Thursday then, so still last week technically, but I got sort of, when you said, oh yeah, it's this one, I was like, oh god, like, but I thought, No, Ben, you're starting like one of the lower ends you could be at. This isn't a bad thing. This means you have nowhere to go but up.
Yes.
And then they said about the wheel, and my first thought was, "Oh God, no! Please not the flux! Please not the
I was really hoping it was going to be either the doctor's wife or the one where we have, it's a Matt Smith one, and we have them going into, they go outside the universe and the TARDIS becomes a woman.
That's the doctor's wife.
Is that the doctor's wife?
That is the doctor's wife.
Oh, then no, yeah, that's the episode I wanted. I'm
Yeah,
thinking I'm the other episode I'm thinking of then is where we have Riversong. So no, it's Riversong and Peter Capaldi.
the husbands of Riversong.
That's the one. See,
That,
I knew I had a spouse connection.
yeah, that one I. It's a really, really fun episode. I really enjoy it. But it's, I don't think it's the strongest Christmas one with Capaldi.
Well, we'll have to see if it comes up.
Yeah, but that's just, there's a weird thing I've noticed.
Okay.
Doctors with Christmas episodes seem to have their strongest Christmas episode be the one where they end up dying at the end.
Well, I think that's slightly a theme for Doctor Who,
Yeah.
and Christmas episodes. But yeah, I think we'll leave that one here. This has been a
Yep.
fun, this has been an interesting one because it kind of took us back to Doctor Who pre-COVID, because obviously it came out in March the 3rd, it was broadcast, I think.
That was New Year's Day.
Oh no, sorry, yeah, no, you're right. It's the I was looking at the when the Timeless Child had been. So
Yeah.
yeah, so no, obviously the Timeless Child was broadcast in March 2020. So this one took us to New Year's Eve, New Year's
Yeah, cool.
Day 2021. Last 4 years, man.
Yeah, well, when Timeless Child was broadcast, I was still in isolation because this is when COVID was first coming over here, and we thought my mum had it, which meant that I had to isolate.
Well, yeah, that would have been Timeless Child was pre-lockdown.
Yeah, but this was when they still had the if you or anyone in your household was displaying symptoms, everyone in the household had to isolate.
Oh, okay. I don't remember those times, but I found that I've wiped quite a lot of 2020 off my brain.
It was a very, very boring time for me.
Did you get a lot of Doctor Who in, though?
No, I was sort of quite disenfranchised with it at the time because
Timeless Child.
I didn't enjoy that arc at all. I am still waiting for the point where they come out with that was the master being an unreliable narrator, or where they play into the bit where the toy maker even says, "Oh, did you like my little game with your history there?"
Well, I think
But there's every possibility they're going to use that to just retcon it out.
yeah, but one of those we'll wait and see. But I
Yep.
think we'll leave that here. And until next time, stay safe, keep writing, enjoy Doctor Who. Bye.
Bye.